Good evening, everybody, and welcome to, as it turns out, our very last show of the season. We talked about, you know, we weren't sure how much longer this would go on, and went pretty quick. As you can see on the screen there, I'm Andy Ketterson. There's my daughter, Miley, next to me. Miley, how are you doing?
Oh, just great. How are you?
That doesn't sound like just great. That sounds like, just great. What's the matter?
Tired.
What was that noise?
Oh, my phone vibrated.
Oh, okay.
I moved off the laptop.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if that was like Connor practicing his tuba or if there was a fart or what. So I'm glad.
None of the above. Nope.
I'm glad it's just a phone buzzing in. We're just kind of winging tonight. We'll go over the tournament here first, but that's really it. This is the first time the season. We've got no preview. That's not going to happen again until we start to ride this pony again next year. So let's talk about the tournament. I got in when I pulled out to head for Iowa City this last week, and actually it was Thursday, and I pull off of 880 where you loop north of Omaha there and cut across and meet I-80 as it's getting ready to head east across Iowa. I merge onto onto I-80, and right away, what happens? Here comes one of those truckers.
Oh, God.
Going 65 in the 70 to pass the trucker, you know, beside him who's going 64. You run into that. Missouri and Iowa have to be two of the worst states for just that crappy behavior from the semi-driving community. Before you think, I hate truckers. My grandfather was a long-haul trucker, so it's not like anything against truckers. It's just those truckers. It's like when you see it's kind of busy, guys, you know, tell you what, you're not going to get there a hell of a lot faster. And when you spend 2 to 3 minutes passing that guy going 1 mile an hour slower than you, couldn't you just wait until you have some open road and not make that line behind you going under the speed limit in the passing lane, you know, like a half a mile long? And and that just happens like left and right as you go across Iowa. And hey, I know it's a stretch, but I was like, what a metaphor for the Huskers this season. It's like every time something starts to go right, bang. Here's something bad that happened, and now you have to overcome it. And which is fantastic. And Coach Rhonda Revelle will be the first one to say that she loves using a season like this for life lessons. And yes, it's a life lesson, you know, to have to overcome obstacles in your way. And sometimes it just seems like they don't end, et cetera, et cetera. But as a fan, it pissed me off. I didn't want the life lessons. It's like, we get Jordy Ball, out of nowhere seemingly. And with the hitting we have right there, I think we're a top 15 team. And if you watch the way we played with some of the top 15, 20 teams, we were right there with the hand we were dealt after she got hurt. And I'm never going to stop wondering, probably, you know, it won't keep me up at nights, but I'm always going to wonder that arm, say Caitlin Olenski stays healthy, and we get those arms going with those bats, it's going to bug me for a while, like how far they could have gone. There's my annoying semi-drivers on the roadways of Iowa as a comparison for the Husker season. So let's talk about the tournament. What did you watch, Miley?
I just watched a little bit of the first game. I had my two-year review at work, so I had
So you didn't catch much of Minnesota. Well, the good
news was, I caught Emerson Cope's dinger off the scoreboard, though, so.
I tell you what, the one thing, let me see if I put a picture of that up. Well, here's one I took of me that kind of gives you the view I had. We were on a deck behind the right field fence and literally on top of the replay truck. And it was a nice deck, and they had like a little metal spiral staircase going up to it. And it really gave you a beautiful view of the homers, because you know, it's like they'd come off the bat, and I was like, that one of Cope's, I think, you know, you try not to cheer up in the press area. But that one, I like did kind of a quiet holy shit when I saw that, because that was just a missile that kind of kept going up, and then it rang the scoreboard and kind of got the oohs and ahs in the crowd. But then Billy tunned one, I think, a couple inning or two later, and she just bombed one. I think they scored in every inning, ended up putting them away 11-2 on Billy's second home run of the day. We'll talk about the games and talk about Billy. So they beat the brakes off Minnesota 11-2. Now, to be fair, and we had a really good series with them the weekend before. You know, won a couple of hard fought games, lost the last one. And I still wonder. I'm still also thinking about, after not getting selected for the NCAA tournament, I'm also thinking about these close losses that might have been the thing that pushed us over the NCAA bubble. But anyway, beat up on Minnesota. Now, Minnesota, to be fair, lost their best pitcher. We did not see her the weekend before. I think her name is Bri Enter. And she was far and away their best pitcher, and she hasn't pitched since April 17th. She suffered some sort of injury. So, you know, being fair, it's like I couldn't really say, like, we jumped on their best team. But I thought about that, and I'm like, but we were in the same boat. We're both missing our best pitcher, in our case, our best two pitchers probably. And it was nice just to get them put away early. I thought they might be gunning for a little revenge after losing that series that kept them out of getting the bye. And then it came the game against Indiana, and we jumped on them early. Got up 3-0. Billy goes 4-for-4 with a homer. I think was it four? Yeah, 4-for-4 with a homer, 3 singles. So she was just on base every time again, and jumped out that 3-0 lead. They did just what they did against Northwestern. It didn't take the lead, but came back chipping away in the late innings. And we take that 3-2 lead into the top of the seventh. And I'm going to say it, because it's now not just once or twice. It's kind of a pattern the last 4 weeks. We're playing a team we're up on or tied with, and they need some runs, and all of a sudden the strike zone disappears. And their leadoff hitter that inning, I forget her name, I apologize, got her 0-2. She fouls one off. Harness just throws one down on the outside half of the plate. Nate roared, and we'll talk about Nate up in the radio box, was, and I looked at that. He goes, "I'm sorry." He goes, that is catching the plate, and that should have been a strike. And this time it really bit us. She turns around, then hits a home run to tie the game up. And then we go to extra innings. No excuses there. They just came out, scored 6 runs. They play that runny slappy ball, small ball to death. But you know what? If you've got 7 of your 8 batters or 7 of your 9 batters who have stolen 10 or more bases, that's what you're going to do. And they did it and just ran around on us. And then was it Peyton Cody, who we didn't really see the day before, and I don't think we saw much of her in the Minnesota series, so I was wondering if maybe she was injured, but then she came in, pounded a 2-run homer, and so everybody, maybe this isn't over, and then it was over pretty quick. And Indiana gave Michigan.
Hello. Well, I think he's frozen, so.
There we go. I was gonna say, I shouldn't have any internet problems.
Yeah, where's your Wi-Fi at?
It is right there on the floor, glowing 3 bars. All right, where did I get? Sucks. Where did I get cut off?
I don't know.
Okay, way to pay attention. Anyway,
I'll really do my best.
Peyton Cody hit a home run.
Yeah.
Thought they were gonna maybe make a run, and then suddenly it was over, and there we are. That season, I wasn't thinking it was going to end in that game. I thought we had Indiana's number. What I wanted to do, I think this is about where I got cut off, was just talk about Sarah Harness's performance over the last 2 weekends. Kaylin Kenny was injured. She probably could have pitched if they had to use her, but from what I understand, her injury wouldn't be worse, but she would have been in some pain and wouldn't have been near as effective. Same with Emerson Cope. So it was pretty much all on Sarah Harness's shoulders. The only way she was kind of, they're not going to broadcast that to the world, but the only way she was coming out of a game that weekend was if, like, she got hit in the face of the line driving, got knocked unconscious. Otherwise, she was in there and had some hope there, actually, because when she transferred, you tired there?
Yeah.
So anyway, she transferred from Southern Illinois, I believe it was, 2 years ago. Well, Southern Illinois, she actually pitched every inning of three straight games in the Mo Valley tournament and won them the Valley title. So at least we had somebody in there that, you know, had proven she could do that in the past. And she did what Kaylin Kenny did. The more the season went on, the better she got. Their ERAs dropped like crazy over the past, like, few weeks of the season, the past probably 5 weeks of the season. They were up there. I think both of them were up there in the high fours and finished the season in the low fours. And so I can't say enough about the competitive level that those two showed. That was one thing when we asked Rhonda at senior day, you know, what do you have to say about those two pitchers? Like here they were at one point, probably the third and fourth starters. And then all of a sudden they've got to be the one and two starters. Coach Sipple had said, and they just stepped in and did it because that's what they do. And, you know, that's what we trained them to do. And Coach Ravel said, you know, they said, what was the secret? What switch flip for him? And she goes, she's like, how's this competition? They love competition. They competed their butts off. They learned, they got better. And I'm telling you, by the end of the year, they weren't really getting outpitched by too many, and they were facing the conference's best. And we were getting to those pitchers as much or more as they were getting to our pitchers. So great job by those two. Great job by Sarah. I think maybe just the gas ran out of the tank a little bit in that eighth inning. We got lucky on against Minnesota. Like they got out of there in five innings and she only had to throw 71 pitches. So that was good. Did you get to catch any of that Indiana game?
No, I didn't. We were at the zoo for Connor's birthday.
Well, this is why I go to Iowa City, folks, and people are going to the zoo and getting their two-year reviews instead of watching their beloved Huskers.
Shut up.
I step up for everyone.
What did you want me to do? Turn on the game during my review?
Is that so much to ask?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Go big red in that employer's face. Come on. You're in Lincoln, for God's sake. Stand
in
up.
In the Haymarket, too.
All right. Well, that kind of covers the softball into the tournament. Before I start going into a few of my experiences, let's check our comments. What? Okay. What is this? Does that have to do? Because the next comment is like, iPhone hotspot Wi-Fi will do that for you. Connor, damn it, I have real Wi-Fi. But is that... the blue sad emoji? What is that thing?
It looks like a surprised blue emoji. Okay. I've never seen that before.
Well, good for him. Yeah, we've covered this. I don't have the iPhone hotspot anymore. It'll never happen again.
It seems like you did there for a second.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on there because I've got like a movie on behind the camera here in the background and it was going fine. No idea. Anyway.
We got another one.
Got another what? Comment?
Oh, another blue emoji.
Oh. What is?
Now it's shouting. What the hell?
Okay. Wait. Enough of Connor's blue emojis. Go find us some more Cajuns. You swarthy bastard. Andy, oh my God. Okay. We're moving on from this. Where's Highlander when we need him? All right. Here's a few things though. Want to say about the trip to Iowa. Here's their field, and it was kind of controversial that Iowa got the conference tournament because their field does not qualify for it to be considered as a regional host because one of the one of the things the field has to have is a dirt infield if you're going for a regional. And you can't really see it from there, but their entire field, they've got an entire turf field, and they just, you know, spray painted the infield there and the loop around home plate, just that turd brown or whatever. And so, yeah, there was some like little griping about why are you giving this team a Big 12 championship event when Big 10 championship event. Hey, at least I didn't call it like the Big 8 or the Pac 8 and go back to the 70s. But
surprised. You're getting old.
Yeah, getting. Shit, I'm there. But anyway, yeah, there was a few grumblings about why they bothered to have it there. One thing I noticed about the Iwegians while I was there is once again, this is a tournament they won the hosting for. And apparently the Big Ten doesn't have a rule that you get to qualify for the tournament if you host it. They finish dead last, and the bottom two teams get bounced from the conference tournament. So there are still a bunch of them running around. And even around town and whatever, everybody's dressed for game day in Iowa. They are just in their yellow and black. And I don't remember you've been in Lincoln now, living there back there for a couple of years. Well, not back there, but living there for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I remember everybody running around campus in their red stuff.
I mean, even downtown. I worked downtown, and no one's running around in their game day gear. I mean, yeah, people are wearing Nebraska shirts, but it's not like they're looking like they're ready to go to Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, I don't know. Just more Iowa weirdness, I guess. Oh, here's one thing I did. We had the press area. I showed you where you could actually watch the game or whatever, because apparently stocking the press box with Iowa students seemed to be the way to go, and so all press and photographers had to hang out didn't have to, but we had the media seating behind the right field fence, like I showed you, and then we had a press tent where we could work on stories and stuff. And I was actually there the games I was there for. I was kind of hanging out with two guys that were there as Big Ten photographers. They were just there to shoot the thing all weekend, and they were having to work that from like the beginning, like the beginning way before the first game and stay there until everything was done. And I think they didn't get out of there on Wednesday when the tournament started with the 8 lower seeds. They didn't get out of there till 11:15, they told me.
Oh, God. What about on Thursday when they had, because of that rain delay?
Yeah, then we're kind of hanging out in the tent. It wasn't raining. It rained a little hard.
I mean, harder. Did they get out of there later than 11:15 that night?
No. We only got delayed for about an hour and 15 minutes that day. So I think so whatever the last game was at 7, maybe started at 8:15. Well, maybe they did. That might have been 11:15 again. Yeah. Now that I think of it, I wasn't there. Sorry. But it's kind of funny. It was a real interesting tournament because it's a smaller thing. I just found myself around a lot of interesting stuff, and one of it was these photographers, and they're like, they're over there grumbling like they need to not admit any more red teams into the Big Ten. I'm sick of all this red, and I'm just like, go Big Red, baby, come on. I thought we were pals here, and they were laughing. They said, no, it's like, here's the thing, is you don't know how hard this is when we're playing on Friday, and we're playing in Indiana in the one semi, and Wisconsin's playing Michigan in the other. And they're saying, you don't know how hard we're cheering for Michigan in that game against Wisconsin. We don't want the all-red final. And why not? And it's because they said the contrast in colors, like red versus something not even close, like blue, and said bright yellow they would have liked even better. Said it just really makes the pictures pop more when you, instead of just a bunch of red and white running around. So yeah. I got that. That was something I never thought about. And they're, because they're sitting there checking their cameras. There was one play. There was a play in the Indiana Northwestern game that happened right before the rain delay. And it was like, because here's Indiana, bases loaded, two down. And the Indiana coach appealed that they got the Northwestern coach appealed they got the runner at third. And the appeal was upheld. And the Indiana coach just went off and was badgering the umpires. And then they're like, guess what? Rain delay. That's how they got away from her. It's time for a rain delay. Anyway, the one photographer was like, God, and I don't know if I, it's like, I didn't see what happened, but he's just sitting there shooting. And so you see him going through his camera. He goes, "Ooh, I found it. Freeze frame. She's out. Good replay." And he's like, "Yeah," he's like rightfully proud of himself. So these guys were pretty funny. And I learned a thing or two. Like next year, what I want to do is buy a camera, at least just someone I can carry around on a shoulder strap, so I don't look like a jackass, you know, because if I go somewhere to watch the game, I, you know, take my own pictures and not, you know, be doing it with the phone when everybody else is there with their triple telephoto lens or I don't even know.
Andy, what. The photographer.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the photographer and writer.
The coronation photographer.
It's all about looking cool, man.
Oh, God.
I don't think I look as cool taking pictures with the iPhone.
You think you look cool anyways at all?
You know I do. And one thing we talked about, everybody appealing the runner leaving early all the time is kind of the get out of jail appeal, you know, which is the ridiculousness of doing it on like home runs and walks and stuff like that. And I happened to just be standing around like some of the big, like with the Big Ten people in the trailer, they'd come up on the media deck there. A little story about that later. But then there's like three of them just like jabbering away about, I appeal that every time. I just, anytime I'd use them up and just do it on that leaving the runner. You never know when you're going to get lucky. And I just wanted to say something like, hey, show me you have no honor with but don't say you have no honor. Jerks. And anyway, let's talk about Nate for a minute. Cause I kind of got the thing, even though he's about 30 seconds behind the game on the delay, it's fun having him in my ear just because if I'm up there just watching the game, I'm not hearing what's going on TV. And Nate, you know, I think Nate has some sort of like the equivalent of they'll be able to run it back like on the smart TV and watch some stuff in replay. So I can also hear what he thinks is going to happen on some of those. Well, I just started to copy some of like Nate's best lines of the weekend because I've told you he's a big guy with a big voice and it's obvious he loves what he does and he knows his softball up and down. He's also the PA voice in Memorial Stadium for football games.
Is he?
Yeah, that's what he was telling me a few of those stories. Because we were talking about the podcast and I said, well, that's the thing is like people go on that and. Big, you know, big deal. There's, you know, they're just looking at one other person there. You know, you might be able to see the numbers, like how many people are watching, but that's a lot different than actually seeing their eyes. And Nate goes, yeah, he goes, it's a little more nerve wracking doing the PA with the 80,000 people in the stands. Really going, please don't screw something up.
Yeah.
But anyway, here are my favorite Nate lines of the weekend. After the home run, the bomb home run that Billy hit against Minnesota, he just, I picture him just standing up and yelling it, and he was just like, and Billy hits one to the moon. I just love the way he did that. And then the Indiana game, the first two innings, the leadoff batter for Nebraska hit a home run, and in the third inning came up, the leadoff batter got it out, and you just hear Nate go, he goes, all right, what did he say here? He goes, no home run, I feel cheated. You have let me down. And just tries to sound really indignant since they didn't lead off home run three straight innings. And then they had the big review when Indiana was up. And I think, it was the one where they were going to see if she was out at first. And they called her safe initially. She slid into first. They thought maybe she missed the bag. And then it turned out that Sid Gray made a hell of a play when she ripped the ball over there. And they got her out, but the question was, did Bella Bacon pull her foot off the bag at first? It actually had the replay guy actually came up the next inning and it, like explained that all to us. And they decided that when the ball was in the glove, her foot was coming off, but it was still touching the bag as it came off when the ball hit her mitt. So they reversed themselves and called her out. Well, that was a 1-2-3 inning. And Harness only threw like 11 pitches to get the three outs. So when the review is done, the inning's over, he just goes, well, that is the longest 11-pitch 1-2-3 inning in the history of Nebraska softball. And he wasn't wrong. If anyone ever has a chance, I would just say, because this happened in Ann Arbor, where I was just cracking up all the time at how much he was entertaining some Michigan people and really pissing off the others. But there you are in your home territory, and there's Nate's voice booming through the press box because Fox Sports One had the the media, the radio TV side. And then he just stayed in there like I think the rest of the weekend, because I think he knew he was irritating him. But if you ever have a chance to go watch Nate call a game in a visiting press box, I can't tell you just how entertaining it is watching the looks on the faces of the enemies. it was something. What else? Oh yeah. We all think that the Big Ten hates Nebraska. And it's like, why do you just screw us over left and right? That's, you know, kind of been the tune. And at times it's really hard not to think that. Well, I don't know if I'm supposed to tell press deck stories, but since it doesn't involve the press, except for me, I feel like it's fine. So here in that Indiana game, you had some people come rolling up with their Big Ten credentials, with a couple people with no credentials. So I'm like, okay, some of the guys are, you know, hey, buddies, come on back to the press area with me. Come on up, check out the view. And here came another Big Ten guy walking out and starting for a stool. And this guy's, sorry, man, I'm bringing my crew up here. So they're telling him he can't sit there. And I'm like, you try that with me and I'm going to start going, where's your press credential, dude? Well, and so anyway, they're up there watching, and there's four or five of them, and not all, but probably three of them are just up there blatantly cheering for Indiana on the press deck. Cheering, you know, it's one of the unwritten rules. You don't cheer, but I was just like, see, I knew it. Like, you're up there just bombing away for Indiana. Nobody, I think, was from Indiana. They're just cheering for Indiana, and in a place you shouldn't be cheering. And I think after we got out of one inning where they left a couple on base and they hit a long one to center, you know, and I might have let suck it slip out of my mouth when that happened. If anyone heard, somebody kind of turned their head a little, but, you know, I was looking straight ahead, and apologies to all, you don't have to suck it. But anyway.
But they do.
But Big Ten hates us. I've got the proof now. That there's probably my funny stories. The hotel, like a funny hotel story. I had it in my head that checkout was at 11:30, and yeah. it was 11. They came knocking on the door at 11, and I'm like, they're like, oh, are you checking out, Dave? Yeah, I'm checking out. Okay, and I shut the door, and then about I get in the shower, and as I'm getting out, I hear the phone ringing. And I'm like, and then I figured it out. It's like, I bet it's like 11. I bet checkout was like 11. And so I'm getting packed up. And then I go down. I'm getting out of there. It's probably about 11:25. And I get to my car and I'm loading. And here, now my phone's ringing.
Oh.
And I'm like, I'm carrying everything. So I'm like, all right, I'll get to you. And I look and, you know, here's the message, printing out the message there. And it just says, hey, notice you're still in your room, or are you staying another night, or are you just running late? I'm like, my God. So I go back in and tell the guy at the front desk, sorry, I was running late. It wasn't a big deal, but I'm like, yeah. But then I'm thinking maybe they probably have a bunch of people coming in for the graduation.
Yeah.
So it made sense, but I'm like, you know, so I've kind of stayed a little past the checkout before, and I've just never had the phones ringing and people back up. But no, it was a Comfort Suites, and they were very nice there, and had a really good breakfast. So other than that, perfect. But they just harassed me out of their hotel. And so yeah, that's
your door down.
Yeah, that's the worst story I got about them. Let's see, we got another comment up here. Let's see. Okay, Connor's all over me. First he mocks me with the spin. We call that like the pinwheel of death at work, and then. Turf fields are cowardly, just like Iowa. You're damn right. That's just cowardly. Like, you know who loves it, I bet, though, are infielders. Because no bad hops in that on that turf. But I did have another quick funny story. So I actually got to be standing right there where the Big Ten officials are getting together with the Northwestern and Iowa coaches to talk about when they're going to start playing again. And like the Northwestern,
I wasn't playing.
Indiana coach, and the Indiana coach is just like griping, and I'm not sure about what. Like the Indiana coach is just a griper, and she is griping about the rain. The Northwestern coach is like never saying a word, maybe a little, you know, small eye roll or you know, something like that. But yeah, because Indiana had taken the lead, they were up 4-2, they ended up holding it, winning the game. But she's, well, then what if we waited this? And then what does that do? And all this. And the ups are like, the fish was like, it'll be fine. I hear you. We're going to work it out. And I'm like, you're not getting this rained out. You're going to have to play the rest of the game. And you're going to have to do it today. So just let them do their thing.
They were just scared they were going to lose.
Yeah. And I'm like, and they didn't. They won. They made it to the finals. And all of a sudden, here come a couple of the nice little golf cart trucks or whatever from the maintenance guys, the field guys. And here comes this guy hopping out and just stomping up. You know, they're okay. We're going to call it restart at that 1 or 1:15 or something like that. And he just comes storming up and looks like he's in a bad mood right out of the gate. And because what he wanted to do is take one of their blowers and go and do it on the mound and just at least dry the mound off some of it so none of the pitchers. Oh, yeah. But for some reason, I don't know if they had given him the impression that maybe it'll rain again, because we weren't sure. This rain part of the tail end of the system just kept moving south, but then it would start breaking up, but then it would load up again, and it was still at the end of the day.
It rained at the end of that game still.
Yeah, it was spitting some of the little at the end of the game.
The end of that game.
It was never bad enough. I mean, I was up there with the laptop, and it was spitting a little rain on me, but no big deal. It was just the occasional drop. But he comes out, and I don't know if he thought, that they shouldn't start at all. But here's this complaint. He's like, now look, man, I don't want to stand out there for 20 minutes holding this damn blower if we're just not going to play again. And there's this short, younger blonde gal, the NCAA, the NCAA or the Big Ten stuff on. And she just turns around and points at him after he's done complaining about maybe he'll have to dry the thing twice. And she just looks at him and goes, stop it. Just stop.
So she was a mother basically.
Right. Well, I gotta admit, I was probably still a little steam, but I thought it was funny. I run into the umpires because as soon as that Indiana game's over, I'm running down, I'm trying to break up rundown and start writing the article. Well, coming the other way just as fast, here's the umpires. And here's three of them kind of walking in a row, and they're coming right at me, and I'm kind of up against, the tents or whatever. And they about walk right into me. I'm like, oh, heads up. And they're like, oh, all three of them. And I went, yeah, that's not a good look, is it, guys? And one of them laughs, and the other two just give me shit eye. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Screw you guys. I've had it with you all year. At least I got a non-violent, and nutty, a non-violent, non-profane crack in at him, and you guess what? Don't run into me next time.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's about it. Let's take a minute or two. I'll let you start. What are you going to remember about this team, this 2024 Huskers softball team?
Oh God, just probably their resilience. I mean, with all that they had to go through, starting with Jordy Ball, continuing with God knows how many other injuries. I mean, they didn't stop playing. And so, yep. I mean, the season could have gone much worse for them if they just gave up and sat down and let it happen, but they didn't. And the season went way better, I think. I think when Jordy Ball got hurt, everyone expected the season to go downhill quickly, but they kept it on the rails and made it still a good season, even though they didn't make it to the tournament. So,
yep. And that's the word I used over and over again, was just the resilience of this team. And the first time I look back on the UCLA game in two different ways. One is they blew a 5-run lead in the seventh and lost that game. And I look back on that game because I think UCLA is in the top 10. And I'm like, how would that game just would have looked fantastic on our resume? And then you have, had a couple other close calls, probably could have won two at Michigan, could have won two out of three against Penn State, could have won two against Northwestern.
Yeah.
We played tight and pretty well with the best team. We had the toughest schedule in the conference and the highest strength of schedule of any team in the conference. So right now I just want to complain. How do you put Rutgers and Penn State in ahead of us? I'll never understand that. Anyway, moving on. But that UCLA game, I'm like, well, you guys got Oregon tomorrow, another ranked team. And how do you recover mentally from just having that meltdown? I was really worried for him, and they came out the next day, and here, I think Oregon might even be top 15, and they came out and just ripped Oregon, and UN, I think, beat him like 6-2, 6-3, yeah. Something like that, just clobbered him and just ripped the ball, and I was like, wow, this team, they may be down, but they don't stay down, and that kind of became the metaphor for their season. They had more comebacks, I think they said, when going into the seventh inning trailing. Yeah, I think they had at least four of those this year, and that was three more than they've had in the last 13 years combined. and that just became what this team was known for. It's like coming back. They came back, I think, for at least 15 or 16 of their wins this year were come from behind at some point. And I think that's going to be this team's legacy. I was talking with Olivia Farrell, assistant coach, after the game, and she kind of agreed that that's kind of what this senior class, not just senior class, but the team itself, that's kind of the lesson they're going to leave for the team that follows them, is that it can all be going against you, and don't slow down for a minute, because you never know, good things might happen. And this team just never quit. And I think a testament to that was when Cody hit that home run in the bottom of the eighth against Indiana to cut it to 9-5, some of those Big Ten folks that were up there, that group had left, and then like you had a few of the replay people, and boom, 9-5, you heard them going, oh, they were like, oh, look out, this team's done this before, and it didn't happen, but the fact that some people believed it might happen, I think showed you what was going on with this team all year. And somebody was asking me, like, you know, how good were the players? They lost six of the 24 rostered players. Six of them were knocked out for the year. And some was saying, well, how good were they? And I was like, well, let's get the easy one out of the way. One of them was like a two-time All-American and the College Women's World Series MVP last year. She might have helped. The other one was the one who stepped up, had by far the lowest ERA on the team, Caitlin Olenski. She was getting ready to move into that number one starter position. She got hurt. Abby Squire was all Big Ten last year, outfielder. She got hurt before the season started. Talia Tokheim comes in. She had put up like some amazing numbers in her short stint last season, and then she was done for the year. Didn't come back till about midway through this year, and I think hit like three or four home runs right out of the gate or the first couple weekends. And all of a sudden, you've got a new very big bat in the lineup, and then she's out for the year again. These were quality players, and people who weren't expected to do a lot this year suddenly found themselves. But they said, "That's what we train you to do. You're not starting now. Play like you're going to be practice and play like you're going to be starting tomorrow." Sam Bland comes in. She was an infielder. She was like they were maybe going to start working her in behind. I think Kennedy at second base. What does she do? She has to become our starting left fielder, becomes one of our big, if not our most clutch hitter, right up there with the clutch hitters, and makes Big Ten all-freshman team. So we already talked about Kaylin Kenny and Sarah Harness. End of the year, holy cow, they are putting up quality innings, and they're going toe-to-toe with pitchers like Bridget Nemeth and Lauren Drakowski and Ashley Miller and out-pitching them at times. So I just think it was just kind of amazing the way everybody stepped up and they're all hands on deck. And guess what? Sometimes listen to your coaches. they both Coach Sipple and Coach Revolta told us that we tell them to get ready like you're going to be starting this weekend as far as the pitchers. Just act like you're going to be out there the next day. That about does it. The resilience and just the way they fought. I think that's the kind of thing that can spur on a big year the next year. So anyway, Highlander Gunn is here. I was wondering where he was. Where have you been? Highlander says, does anyone else find it odd that a summer sport is over before summer has began? This is another reason I love covering softball, because I'm not out there in 92 degrees in July watching this crap outside. That would be a whole flip if you just had to sit out there. Instead, it was like 60s on Thursday. It was probably about 70, 72 on Friday, and the breeze was blowing. And even when that breeze would stop, even in the 70s, you start to feel that sun. So I'm not complaining. Yeah, there's some chilly stuff early on. That's okay. I can suffer through that and wear some layers. But yeah, good point.
Caitlin Clark just lost.
Oh no. She's not at Iowa anymore. We don't even have to talk about her ever again. She can do her screechy bitching in the and waste away in the WNBA. But be gone, Caitlin. Floplin. Anyway, hey, we found out this week that second game of the year, Colorado, going to be on primetime NBC. And I think Colorado, as we found out with Miami when they came back here in 2014, the old hate never dies. No. And when we play Colorado, back before Dion, there, 11,000 fans, really didn't like us. And our 80,000 really didn't like them. And then Dion's kind of talking his trash and getting it wound up again. But it really didn't take much of anything. It's Colorado. We can't stand you. And now we've got them at a night game in Lincoln. And one of go ahead.
I love that Nebraska fans are nice and we're known for being nice. But I hope that Nebraska fans just treat Colorado fans like absolute shit that night.
Why, Miley, what a horrible thing to say.
I'm so sorry, but when Nebraska fans went to Colorado this last year, they were just absolute shitbags to us. So why not return the favor?
And that's decades long. That all started with Bill McCartney when he brought in the prison system to play us. I still remember when Colorado got super mad. Because I think a Friday before we played Colorado on a Saturday, in the late 80s, early 90s, the World Herald had the mugshots of all the Highlander agrees with you. Exactly, Miley. See, it's going to happen. But no, what I was going to say is they put the mugshots of all the because Colorado had something like 26 or 27 convicted felons on that team. And somebody, I think it was, oh God, somebody's radio show, it'll come to me, but he was talking about, how Bill, it was just the weirdest situation ever, because he goes, so here you have Colorado, that's a very left-wing campus, and you bring in this right-wing religious nut, Bill McCartney, who started the Promise Keepers, and then he just brings in these absolute criminals who just run amok on that campus for those years while he's there, and it kind of continued with Gary Barnett, and the Colorado thing finally died when Gary Barnett got fired. That was the end of that season. They play Nebraska and they are 17.5 point favorites. It's one of Bill Callahan's team. It's in Boulder. They're already the Big North champions, and Nebraska just runs them out of their own stadium, beat them 37-3. The students and behavior that shocks no one, just started throwing everything they could get their hands on the field. Just they're mad that Nebraska's killing them. And literally the state patrol had to roll in and kick the entire student section out of the game. And then I think they hired Guy Hawkins after that, and it all went downhill from there. And then told Dion relit those fires. But yeah, I agree. Here's something about Nebraska fans and the Memorial Stadium crowd. People don't always like to hear it. We're not even close to one of the rowdiest crowds in the country. Most of the time, we'll get going a little. The students do their best for the night game. Just we're an old fan base, and we're always going to be an old fan base. And it just takes the energy out of the place sometimes. But we always seem to show up for at least one game a year as acting like maniacs. Wow, wild guess. Which one do you think you can safely mark into that column? Dion rolling into Lincoln.
Well, if you didn't know, Shador Sanders put out a new song called Perfect Timing. And I saw someone on Twitter say, well, when Nebraska beats Colorado, they really need to play Perfect Timing over the speakers in the stadium.
You know what? The first thing I thought when you told me Shador Sanders put out a new song, I'm like, Shador Sanders has old songs. I don't know. I didn't know.
New song, first song.
Yeah. I probably got to be honest. That would be pretty funny. Number one. And number two, I won't be familiarizing myself with the Shedeur Sanders catalog.
I would rather burn the Yellowstone Y into my skin than listen to that damn song.
You probably want to burn the Yellowstone Y into your skin anyway. You're a big Yellowstone fan.
But I would never brand myself. That would hurt. That would hurt.
Your family then. And you never leave the ranch.
Jimmy did.
Well, I know. Jimmy
for now.
Yeah. No. The four O's or whatever? What was that ranch called that Jimmy went to?
Oh God, I don't know.
Or the five O's, something like that. Well, anyway, I think they're getting their own spinoff.
Oh, really?
That's probably where Jimmy's there for good. Yeah.
That makes sense.
And while we're talking about Yellowstone, at least we're not talking about the corn, the corn digestion anymore. But while we're talking about Yellowstone, Costner came out and said he wasn't to blame for the filming delays. He said he was there ready to shoot and they didn't have scripts.
That's not surprising. The writer is sort of awful.
Who? No, great writer.
What's the writer's name? Taylor Sheridan. Writes a terrible woman. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, Taylor's definitely a man's man. Remember? Hey, I took you to the first movie that he wrote, Hell or High Water. That was Taylor Sheridan.
I don't remember the movie.
Oh, we went to Tigers for Lunch. You enjoyed it. It was with Jeff Bridges.
I just don't remember it.
Chris Pine and Ben Foster were the brothers that were like stealing money from the bank they owed money to pay him back. And but yeah, you came out.
We watched so many movies that I don't remember some.
I know. But that one I remember. You came out of the theater going, "Wow, that was way better than I expected." But that was your first Taylor Sheridan movie. All right. Let's see. Got a couple more here. Husker Bob. Yeah, McCartney offered up his daughter to Sal Uneasy as a recruiting tool. What a scumbag. I will say that Colorado brought out the worst in Nebraska fans, and I loved it because when teams like that come in, I don't want to be, you don't have to hit them over the head with like rolls of quarters or billy clubs, but you don't have to be nice to these jerks. And anyway, yeah, that was like Sal Uneasy, got Bill McCartney's daughter pregnant. He was the starting quarterback at Colorado. He gets benched for Darian Hagan, and then he gets cancer and dies. And all of a sudden, he's the hero of Colorado. Bill McCartney's like trying to hold him out there. It's like, dude,
wait, who got cancer and died?
Sal Uneasy, the quarterback who knocked up McCartney's daughter. So, McCartney was furious. But then when he gets cancer and dies, then he's he's like the shining beacon of Colorado. And they came in to play. The next time they came into Lincoln to play, here was a banner hanging off the top of East Stadium, there's a strip banner just kind of along the front of it there. And it just said, "Sal is dead, go Big Red." Which, shots fired. That just gives you the idea of the history of the Colorado-Nebraska relationship. Well, it's like, one of the guys died of cancer. You know what? Screw you. Glad to hear it. But yeah, that's the whole Sal Uneasy thing is still just an example of what a jerk McCartney is. Connor, Shedeur Sanders is the human manifestation of undigested corn shit. I can't think of a better way to end our first full season of Husker Heat than calling Shedeur Sanders undigested corn shit. We'll see him soon enough.
Don't say that.
I know.
His Twitter handle on his jersey.
And really, I think that's about it. Trying to think anything I want to say. I tell you what, I'd like to say a few thank yous. I'd like to say, thank you to Liv Farrell for getting me into softball. I thought it would be a neat way to cover a sport. When I went and did it 2 years ago, I didn't know I was going to start, and then run into her and her dad again. And that is just a bonus. And I didn't think I was just going to really start enjoying women's softball. It is so much more enjoyable. Like when I was there, when you had, pitchers, where if you score the first team to score a run would seem like most of these games were 1-0. You still got great pitching, but now you've got them swinging the bats. It's an exciting game. A lot of these games, as we found out this year, it's never over till it's over. So I want to thank her for like kind of being one of the reasons I went to cover it. I'd like to thank Matt Smith. He's an associate assistant communications director down at Lincoln. He's in charge of softball, and he's just been fantastic at getting us access. Helping any problems I have where I come to it, he answers quick. He is friendly. He's knowledgeable. He's everything you want somebody to be in that position. I can't thank him enough. Thanks to the Huskers themselves, entertaining as hell. You didn't know what to expect this year when Jordy Ball went down. They gave us a better show than maybe we could have asked for if we had Jordy. This was a hell of a story they lived this year, and I was glad to be a part of it. I want to thank that team, and I want to thank all the coaches, but especially Rhonda Revelle, Lori Sipple. Got a chance to talk to both of them this year. They are so passionate about what they do. Fantastic coaches. And I thank them for taking time to talk to me. I want to thank John for our intro. He's the one who put that together. We never did. I don't think Minnie's on tonight, but sorry, we never did get that down below 250. We'll have a shorter one next season, promise, because we'll have a new one. And finally, I want to thank that girl. I guess she's on my left on the screen there, Miley Ketterson. Love you. It's my daughter, and can't tell you how much fun I've had doing this with you this year. I hope you'll come do it again next year.
Maybe. Kidding. I'm kidding.
Tell you what, I'm not going to let in. We got a few more comments, so let's not leave any comments hanging as we finish up. Husker Bob, it was actually Les Miles that recruited Sal for McCartney, but he didn't have a teenage daughter. Husker Bob, shots fired. Let's get into practice now. Does Les still eat grass? Oh, Les Miles humor. Bielema calls it a salad. Oh my God, it's about football season is getting closer, and there's our good buddy Bert coming up. Bielema calls nothing a salad. He doesn't know the word salad.
No, clearly.
Bread, burgers, chocolate, who knows? Husker Bob, a Mo Iba boring basketball jeer. Fire Mo, dig up Joe. Well, the previous coach was Joe Cipriano before Mo Iba became the coach. I met Mo once, and a more disagreeable person I probably haven't met. Did not like him as a coach. Didn't like him. So that's why I'm kind of chuckling at Fire Mo, dig up Joe. Yes, Joe is dead. Connor sneaking in one under the wire. Knowing the Sanders, they'll find this video and tweet about it.
Cool. Sanders, make us go viral.
Bring it on. We'll do a special Husker Heat if they're that desperate for attention. We'll give them what they crave. Both guns. So that is it. Have a wonderful off season. I will be doing a end of season article. Hopefully by the end of this week, that's one I really don't want to get wrong. So I'm probably going to fumble with that for a couple of days. There's no rush now. And Miley.
Yeah.
Final words.
Go Big Red.
Go Big Red.
See? Highlander knows.
Highlander knows. We're when we're starting to hit our stride, the season's over. All right, that's it. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Those who tuned in all year or just for an episode, love y'all. Glad you sat down with us. Glad to see the numbers didn't dwindle after the corn talk last week. And if nothing else, they may have strangely improved. Maybe we'll try for some more digestive humor.
People love that kind of stuff.
25. Who knows? Maybe we'll do a little something when they play their fall like exhibition schedule. Maybe we'll go out, watch that and do a show about that. And I think, Jordy ought to be about ready to start throwing again by then, maybe. Or maybe that might be about a year. Never mind. Don't throw Jordy. Don't throw Jordy in the fall. Let her get like a full year of recuperation on that ACL. All right.
Yeah.
That's it. see you either in fall of 24 or 25. I will be doing something with this starting in a week or two, and I will get an article up about it. So don't start making other plans for Tuesday night at 8. We've got something fun coming up. A new off-season show. What's that?
Am I a part of that?
Yeah, we talked about it. You're not full time. You didn't want to be.
No.
No, and I knew you wouldn't, but I figured you'll pop in once or twice. All right. Good night, everybody. Happy softball season. Go Big Red, and we will see you soon. Night.